Psalms chapter number 50. Psalms 50, verse number 1 says, "The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heaven shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." Selah. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God, who will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the field is mine, and of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, and drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest away my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deep deceit. Thou sittest and speaketh against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear ye in pieces, and there be none in to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. To him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Dear me, Father, O God, as we come before you tonight, Lord, after bringing requests before you, now, Lord, open our eyes to your word. Show us your great and mighty salvation. Lord, the judgment is to come, but your desire for us is your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. He starts out, and basically I have 4 points for tonight's message. And for point number one is verses 1 through 6 is God's promise of judgment. We see a couple different things in these first six verses. And in verse number 1, he says, "The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken." When I was growing up, and of course I had 2 brothers and 3 sisters, and we would go somewhere, or Dad was going to drive somewhere, we're going to go to the store or something, and the oldest one was always the one that would go, "I call the front seat." And then when the argument would stop, "No, you didn't." "Yes, I did. I called it back in the house." And all of that stuff, and Dad would have to make everybody sit in the back, and all of that would go on. But as we see in verse number 1, God calls it. When he was creating the heavens and the earth, he determined their course of action. Not only did he determine the course of action, he says, called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. He called not just a day-to-day thing, but from beginning to end. As we've been studying through the book of Revelation, and we see the scroll in the hand of he that sitteth upon the throne, and we know that that scroll is the end of sin, the end of judgment, and the end of the world as we know it. And God called it. When that scroll is opened, God could, out of all the thunderings and the noise from the throne, you can almost, as you're reading in Revelation and hearing those, almost hear God say, I called it. This is how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to come out. And I called it from before the creation. And the psalmist is recognizing this in verse number 1. In Psalms 37:23, we see that God often orders things, and he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Believe the steps of earth were ordered in because it, when he created it, delighted in his way. Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. Job 9, verse number 7, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. God calls it. You have your smartphone, and you click on the weather app on that, and you can tell what time it is. They're estimating the sun will be up, and they're estimating what time the sun will be setting, and what weather you'll have at whichever hour of the day, throughout the day and into the next, or so many days in advance. But God called it. And we see in verse number 2 where God called it from. Out of Zion. The perfection of beauty. Revelation 21, verse number 27. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Perfection is there. And God calls it out of a place of perfection. And even as Jesus prayed, as he was teaching his disciples how to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God called it. Verse number 3, he goes forward and says, our God shall come. And we get into the prediction of judgment, the prediction of his return, of his setting up his kingdom. And as you read verse number 3 and verse number 4 and verse number 5, we see God doing a great and mighty work. As we have gone through the book of Revelation, these verses start to spring off the page. When Jesus comes back riding on a white horse and a sword comes out of his mouth, the word of God comes out, and he sets up his earthly kingdom. And then after the 1,000 years is up and Satan is loosed and he deceives the nations one last time, what comes out of heaven to destroy him and those people that side with him? In Psalms 50, verse number 3, it says, a fire shall devour before him. In Revelation, it says that fire from heaven destroys them. Verse number 4, he calls to the heavens from above, to the earth, that he may judge his people. I believe that verse number 4 is a prophecy that will be fulfilled when the trumpet sounds. That when the trumpet sounds, and in 1 Thessalonians where it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us which remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. He's going to gather his people. Both the ones that have already passed on, the ones that are already up in heaven, that have already enjoyed his presence, and then those of us who remain. The bad part of it is on the end of verse number 4, he says, that he may judge his people. All we look forward to, and we ought to look up all the time to God, to Jesus' return, to the trumpet sound, to the rapture. of the saints, but today, while we have breath, do we remember that that isn't so much a homegoing as a time for us to stand before Him and give account for what we've done with what He gave us? Verse number 5, He says, "Gather my saints together unto me." And He specifies that those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. To me, that verse, it doesn't hold a huge secret. I made a covenant with God when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The sacrifice that I made a covenant with was the death of Jesus on the cross. The perfect sacrifice. Well, I'm so glad that we live since that. That we're not under the age of doing a monthly, yearly, whatever sacrifice, that we're under the age of grace, and that when we make a covenant using the perfect sacrifice, it's an everlasting. Verse number 6, God's promise of judgment is closed out and says, "The heavens shall declare His righteousness." As we have gone through and we're finished in our study of the book of Revelation with all of the judgment against the world and against mankind, and this coming Sunday we're in chapter 21 and getting into New Jerusalem and getting to see the heavens, what has been prepared for us. But during that time of tribulation, the heavens shall declare His righteousness. Even while the people in chapter 16 are blaspheming His name because of the boils, because of the darkness, because of the heat, the heavens are declaring His righteousness. For God is judge Himself. Second thing we see in these verses is verses 7 through 15, we see God dealing with Israel. And God deals with Israel the same as we see in the New Testament with the fact that the heart is the problem. In verse number 7, He says, "Hear, O my people, that I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." I've been going through and doing a study on all the different times in the Bible where it says, "the Lord thy God." As somebody is speaking and they're talking to somebody who has made a statement of faith in God, and the person responds, "Well, the Lord thy God." And it's interesting to me how many people have said that throughout the Old Testament. That the very God that they ought to be claiming, they're not claiming it as their own. They're claiming Him as somebody else's. And God gives the children of Israel His result and His declaration, "I am God, even thy God." So sad that they don't claim Him rightly today. But God is still calling out to them and saying, "Hearken, hear, I will speak." Verse number 8 gets into the heart of the matter, what the problem is. And He says, "I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me." His reproof isn't in their sacrifice. Sacrifice has been cut off since AD 70 when the temple was destroyed, and it's obvious in the study through Revelation that they're going to reinstitute the daily sacrifice and the yearly sacrifice during the time of Jacob's trouble when the temple is rebuilt and all of that happens. God says, "I'm not going to reprove you for your sacrifices, for the lack thereof or the abundance thereof. He says, to have been continually before me. Whether they were there or not, whether they've been there or not, that's not his reproof against them. Verse number 9 and verse through verse number 12, he gives an indication of where his reproof is at. He says, I will take no bullock out of thine house or he-goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And we claim that in our prayers that our God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and we seek his favor, we seek his blessing based on his ownership. But here God isn't using the verse as a, why aren't you asking me? I have all of this. He's using it as a reproof. That you're holding back from me, not necessarily in, he's not saying you're not making the sacrifice. He says, in your heart, you're holding back from me. Like I need it. We see that often in the church today, that God has blessed us as Christians, and especially here in America, and it's almost like Ebenezer Scrooge every time the offering plate gets passed and people are prying open the rusty hinges on their wallet. And I'm not bringing an accusation against this church, but God is saying, where's our heart at? When we open our wallet, where's our heart at? What is our response? Because he's going, I don't need your daughter. He's telling the children of Israel, I don't need your sacrifice. I don't need your deal. He goes on, he says, verse number 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. Jesus never made a complaint of hunger. He said, I thirst. He never made a complaint of hunger. He never made, and yet he hadn't eaten since he and his disciples had their last meal. His response was, I thirst. And Jesus and God says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell thee. I would not give thee the satisfaction of going, well, okay, then I'll go ahead and buy a hamburger. He's directing his thoughts and his intents toward their heart. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, we're familiar with the verses, especially in the Baptist church. For every man according to as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I believe God is directing back here in Psalms chapter number 50, long before Paul ever wrote this verse in 2 Corinthians, he's directing their attention to this very same thing. He's saying, you are grudgingly and out of necessity doing your sacrifice like I need it. And if you don't do it, I'll starve to death. You're mistaken who I am. We worry so much about the little things. And God is all the way through since the beginning of the Bible to the end, from Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, to Revelation chapter number 22. God's not concerned with anything but our heart. And if we look and we deal with our heart issues, and our heart is fully after God, and I was actually studying, trying to do a message on David, a man after God's own heart. And I got stuck on this chapter. But if our heart is truly after God, the rest of the issues that we run into won't be that big a deal. I believe a lot of the things we run into on a day-to-day basis are because God wants to make sure our heart's in the right place. And He knows where our heart is at, and He knows where our thoughts are at, and He has control of all of that. But He wants, I believe, us to know where our heart's at. And He points it out to us. Verse number 14, He says, offer unto God thanksgiving. Should have been able to get that out of the way last Thursday, right? Shouldn't have to do that on a regular basis. And God says, offer.